Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We learn in the parable of the landowner that we heard in today's gospel about a certain aspect of the kingdom of heaven, which is the Christian church on earth. Jesus teaches us that certain aspect, which he sums up at the end of the parable with two familiar phrases that he used more than once. The last will be first, and the first last. And for many are called, but few are chosen. Few are elected. So the doctrine of election is part of what is taught in today's gospel. And many workers were called by the landowner to go out into his vineyard. But at the end of the day, even though they all received the same pay from the landowner, not everyone left with the same thing. Only the chosen ended up with the landowner's grace and favor at the end of the day, while those who ended the day grumbling and complaining against him were sent away with an unhappy landowner. Why? Let me summarize it briefly, and then we'll go into it as we go through the parable together. Ending the day with God's favor has nothing to do with when you enter his kingdom, or how hard you work on this earth, or how much or how little you suffer in this life. You end the day with God's grace by continuing to rely on the grace by which you were called in the first place, all the way up until the end. Remain in the grace by which you were called. Let's review the parable one more time. Jesus tells it, the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Again, Jesus is describing what happens in the kingdom of heaven, the church on earth. What's the church like? Well, a landowner goes out early in the morning to call workers to go work for him that day and agrees with them for one full day's work, one denarius. And they go off and they begin. Then at the third hour, the landowner goes out and finds more workers and brings them in, telling them, whatever's right, I'll give you. The same thing at the ninth hour, the same thing again, even at the 11th hour. Why have you been standing here idle all day? No one's hired us. Okay, you go work too. I'll give you whatever's right. And then when the work day is over, he calls his steward and intentionally wants the last ones paid first. So the ones who worked 1 hour received one denarius. And the ones who worked 3 hours received one denarius, and the ones who worked 6 hours, and the ones who worked 9 hours, and the ones who worked 11 hours or 12 hours, however long that workday was, came and were sure that he would give them more because they had worked long and hard. They had suffered under the heat of the sun, and he gave them that one denarius. And they were mad. And they grumbled and complained against the landowner. These guys worked only an hour. You've made them equal to us who bore the heat of the day. And the landowner reminds them, I'm treating you fairly. Why are you upset? You're getting exactly what you thought you would get at the beginning of the day. You're getting exactly what I promised. Or is your eye evil? Because I'm good. Good to these other people who didn't work as long, and yet I chose to give them what I wanted from my own things. How does that harm you any? And he tells them to take their pay and go. He dismisses them from his vineyard. These workers won't be back. Jesus makes it clear that it's not okay what happened in the end with these workers who grumbled and complained. They were among the many who were called, but not among the few who were chosen. So, all the workers in the parable share certain things in common. All were called by the landowner to go and work in his vineyard. In the same way, this is how God always brings people into the vineyard of his kingdom on earth, into his church. He goes out personally and finds them and calls them into his vineyard. God is most certainly the one who does it. But he doesn't go out immediately. He doesn't go out so that you see God calling you, so that you hear or feel God calling you into his kingdom. He goes out through the ministers whom he sends in his name. That's what it means when we preach in the name of God. As if God were here himself calling you, repent. Believe the good news. Come, follow me. This is the call that goes out, the call that goes out to all. And many enter the visible gathering of the church through holy baptism, which takes a person off the streets, as it were, and places him in God's vineyard, God's service, God's house. This is a call of pure grace to everyone. Because the landowner saw nothing good in those workers standing around there in the marketplace when he found them and called them into his vineyard. On the contrary, God finds much evil in us when he calls us. So, out of pure grace, he offered us the blood of his own Son to cleanse us from all our sins. Forgiveness for the sake of Christ is the doorway into God's vineyard, into God's church. That and that alone is what made us fit to enter his kingdom. And that's something we have in common with every member of the Christian church. No one was called because he was good. Something else all have in common. All who are called by the landowner are expected to work in the vineyard. We're not called to keep standing around there idly in the marketplace, doing nothing, or serving ourselves or our own interests, living for this world. All who are called into the kingdom of God are called to work at putting to death the sinful flesh, to practice saying no to sin and yes to righteousness. Whether a person spends his or her whole life in the kingdom of God or only the very last moments of it, all are called to work with love toward God and love toward our neighbor. And yet, as we find out at the end of the parable, what we receive at the end of the day still wasn't based on the work we did. Finally, all are paid equally at the end of the day. All receive the same, no matter how much they work, or how long they work, or how much they suffer here under the sun. All are given the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost equally. Because in God's vineyard, God's grace and generosity cannot be earned or deserved by any sinner. It can only be earned by the Son of God in the sinner's place. That's the grace that is offered to all. But obviously there are important differences among the workers in the parable, aren't there? The workers were called at different times. So some worked longer, some less. Some suffered under the heat of the day. Some barely broke a sweat. we think first of the people of Israel, called by God early in the day, as it were. They were given the law of Moses, not just the moral law, but the ceremonial and the civil law too, to keep. It was, as Peter called it, a yoke which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. But when Christ came, he preached salvation to both Jews and Gentiles, to those who had borne the burden of the law for a long time, and to those who had barely suffered under it at all. We think, too, of individuals who are called to be Christians early in life, who spend more of their lives in daily self-denial, fighting against sin, refusing the lusts of the flesh, living with the world as their enemy, as opposed to others who spend most of their lives gratifying their sinful flesh as friends of this world, only to be converted later in life. Finally, we think of some Christians who have suffered more, sometimes much more in this life than others. Whether it was a hard earthly life filled with afflictions and suffering, or whether it was the blessed cross they had to bear for the sake of Christ, there is a difference in what Christians suffer. But those who are called first receive no more. And those who are called last receive no less. So what happens when all are rewarded with the same grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? In the parable, the ones who worked the longest and suffered the most grew to despise the grace of the landowner. They complained about his generosity, that they weren't getting more because they suffered more and they worked more. They wanted each one to be paid according to the amount of work he had done, which meant more for them and less for everyone else. And this is often what happens in the church. It happened at the time of Jesus. It happened back at the time of Moses, as you heard in the epistle. And it can still happen today. This is what happens with those who have worked longer and suffered more. They begin to take God's grace for granted. They begin to think that they are truly deserving of God's favor because they've been good Christians. They've lived a good life. They begin to dislike the idea of free forgiveness, especially to those who have committed great sins in their life. Even though they were told from the beginning that they were poor sinners who stand only by God's grace, they begin to think that really they've stood pretty well all by themselves. That's what happened to Israel as God led them out of captivity in Egypt toward the promised land with a stop at Mount Sinai. God's great deliverance, where he told them, "This is all because I am gracious to you. You stand by grace. Now here are my commandments." And what happened? They made a golden calf and began to worship it. They fell away from grace because they thought they stood pretty well by themselves without God's grace. And what did Paul say the result was in the epistle? Their bodies were scattered throughout the wilderness. They didn't end the day with the favor with which they began it. So Jesus issues a warning to his Christians in today's gospel. Yes, you were all called by God's grace, but you still stand only by God's grace. And you will only finish the day with the Lord's continued favor and grace if you continue to look to him for grace. Notice, not if you work harder, not if you obey the commandments better, but if you continue to look to him for grace. because the moment you look to him to give you heaven as wages for your work, the moment you despise the grace he offers to other sinners, you fall from grace. You lose Christ and you lose salvation with him. So the Jews, in Jesus' day especially, shouldn't be upset, as so many of them were, that God now wants to give the same kingdom to the latecomer Gentiles or to the tax collectors who have repented later in life or the prostitutes who have repented later in life. Nor should the Gentiles despise the Jews. They did work hard all day throughout the Old Testament. They had to live under the burden of the law for over 1,000 years until the coming of Christ. And there were many advantages to being a Jew. Similarly, those who were called to the Christian faith early in life and have served Christ for many years should not despise those who are called later in life after living in many sins and much darkness. And those who were called later in life should not think less of those who have spent many years living imperfectly but penitently as Christians in the world. Finally, those who have suffered much should not grow bitter because others suffer less, or at least appear to suffer less, because you really don't know, as if by their suffering they were earning more of God's favor. Nor should those who have suffered less forget about those who have borne the cross for a long time. Whether Jew or Gentile, whether called to the Christian faith early or late, whether you've suffered much for the name of Christ or little, remain focused on the grace of God. It is the only salvation. It is the only thing by which you will stand. Know that his generosity is the only reason you are safe from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Know that his patience toward others is the very same patience that leads you to repentance. Many are called into the Christian church, into the kingdom of God, and many begin as Christians. But there are few who are chosen, Jesus says, few who remain in God's grace all the way to the end. What does the doctrine of election teach us here? That God's grace is the same for everyone. That God wants every one of you who were called and baptized into his kingdom to be among those few. Remain in the grace by which you were called. Pay attention to today's gospel, because in this very gospel, with its warnings and with its comfort, and in the sacrament that we're about to celebrate, you have the means by which God will strengthen you to remain in his grace until the end. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.